We're back. Grand Blanks. I think the last one that we did, like, it's like 2 years ago, maybe. I think that was the last one I put out was with you. So when I was like, all right, I'm gonna start doing this again, it's like, who should I reach out to first? And I was like, you know what? Let's go with Graham because Graham has been what I think since we did it. I mean, you became an Olympian. That's a big one. And you've been on a tear this indoor season. But 729 3K, right? I think I said to you right after, like, the most anti-climactic 3K ever because it was immediately after Yarrow's world record attempt in BU. And no one, like, I felt like gave it the appreciation it deserved.
It was a quiet meet.
It was a quiet meet right after that. I think I went to cool down and people started, like, pouring out. And then, well, you ran 1259 to kick off the indoor season, right?
12:59 for the 5K, 729, 3K, just scraping under those benchmarks, you know.
Yeah, right.
And then a 330, was it
Six, right?
335?
I have it
It
right
might have been
here.
336. No, 336. Or was it 330? I don't know.
Wait, I have it right here. 336.11, right? That
Point
was
one, that's it,
the
yeah.
Grand Prix, right?
Yeah. Clearly I'm not much of a 1500 runner because I can't really remember the time, but yeah, that was a fun race too.
But I'm looking forward to it. I'm gonna try to get in some 3Ks, or not some th not 3Ks, not anytime soon. Some 15 soon. But then you start doing the math in your head, and you see what guys are running now when you're, like, not a 15 guy, and it just seems like a lot scarier. I think even Liam Murphy, like, half hour ago, just ran like 3:33 to open up his outdoor season.
Yeah, I saw that.
Games kind of change, man. It's kind of crazy.
Game changes.
Yeah. But so I guess let's get right into it. So kind of where are you now? Because I know what you have the tens up next, right? Out in LA. It looks like you're in an LA house kind of right
You
now.
can tell, right? It's like a
Yeah.
bungalow. So I'm
Yeah.
in my Airbnb in Dana Point. The race is in San Juan Capistrano, which is like 10 minutes away, I think. But yeah, it's great. I've been out here for almost 2 weeks now because last week I was out here with Harvard for our spring break training trip. And I was like, why would I fly back to Boston and then have to fly back here to LA and like a few days later? So just skipping some class, staying down here in this Airbnb, which is awesome. Yeah, super pumped to race. Great to be in this weather after this winter. So yeah, I'm super excited. 10K.
Nice. Is there something that you're willing to throw out there? Like, obviously the goal is to race and there's going to be an incredibly competitive field, but do you go into races, especially this time of the year with a, like, a standard in mind or something like that? Or are you going in just like, let's race and kind of kick off the outdoor season?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like I want to, break 27 everyone else. I mean, that's the whole point of the race, and set up as such that we'll go through the 5K in 13:30, and hopefully from there it'll be we'll move off of that. I mean, but outside of that, I just want to win. If I could win in a field like this, it would be a pretty big step forward. And if I win, who knows what the time will be? Probably require something pretty fast to do. So yeah, I would love to have a great race, especially in the 10K, which is something I think like I can be pretty good at on the track.
It's always like it's incredible to see because I think this is a really well put on meet, at least from, like, a fan perspective. I think they did, like, a pay-per-view live stream 1 year and stuff like that. But even, like, the third, fourth heat will be incredibly respectable, 10K times. Like, I think Shea went out there a couple years ago and I think he PB'd like through 5K. He blew up and he still ran pretty fast, if I remember. So it's kind of the 10 right now. Are you looking at anything after that, or is it just kind of look at this opportunity and then figure out where to go from here? Because it's a weird year in terms of the professional racing schedule. And I especially imagine more so for someone like you who made that pro transition kind of in the middle of the racing year, so to speak.
No, I mean, you're totally right. I think it's weird that everything is so late, like the world championships in mid-September, which is
Crazy,
crazy
man.
to think about. Yeah, like crazy to think about. So you know, after this 10K, you know, if everything goes according to plan and I run well, that'll be, you know, both the standards that I want done. So like I'll have the 5K standard and then hopefully I get the 10K standard from here. So I'll really have some time to take some downtime and then keep building back up again because it's such a long season. You know, I would love to just go ahead and get out to Europe for like those big races that I've kind of had to miss with the NCAA, and also because I haven't been fast enough up until probably now to get even get into those races. So definitely want to do like those Diamond League races if I can get in, and you know, any just big races like with the guys that I didn't get to race in the NCAA, like a lot of the pros from Europe or Africa. That would probably be in like mid to early June where I could do that. And so probably just hopefully get a good racing block. Well, first I have to graduate. I have to graduate on May 30th. So I got to get through that first. And then yeah, hopefully have a nice racing block. Like I want to get some good races in. And then I can go hopefully, you know, actually use altitude now before USA's and really make sure I'm sharp and ready for that, because you know, I want to make the team and get out to Japan and give another run at some medals.
Yeah, I think like we're saying with the season being so late, like I was even looking, the first round of the eight this year, I think, is on July 31st, which is so strange compared to
Yeah.
like at USA's, like the collegiate system, where I'm probably in like my fourth week of like summer training for the next year by then. And then now
Yeah.
it's everything's kind of pushed back. Like we're all gonna be racing to October, you know, like the European summer
Yeah.
is American fall this year. It's, you know, it's not July and August, like it usually is. So it's definitely a kind of weird thing. And I think we're going to see a lot more people be able to utilize altitude in the buildup for USAs than we have before, especially the collegiate kids who never really
Yeah.
had that time in between, you know, NCAAs and USAs to do so. Like I was even talking to Abel Tefra, Tonono Matsata, and like they're looking at altitude already for, you know, post outdoor NCAAs to prepare for USAs. But I think the schedule affords for, you know, some pretty crazy things to happen at USAs this year. I think some people are probably going to run, you know, pretty freaking fast. And definitely more collegians involved. Are there any collegians right now that you look to that you think you're kind of in a similar position to you last year? Like in terms of, you know, the ability to make teams and things like that on the 5K and 10K level?
Yeah, I mean a lot of guys. I mean it's crazy. I mean if we're talking about Americans, you know, if we limit to Amer there's way more you know, competitors for teams than Americans, but just for Americans, yeah, I mean big time. Like thinking about I mean obviously Parker Wolf, because we were both in there for that spot last year, and you know, with the 5K you always have to include literally every single 1500 guy if they feel like running the 5K, because that event's so competitive. Like you have people dropping down from the 10, coming up from the 15, so obviously like every guy who competes in the 1500 and the mile and the NCAA that have honestly just gotten all American this year, like they could probably potentially make that team. But yeah, I mean I don't take for granted those spots on those teams. Like they're so competitive, and the guys from the NCAA, like I don't think I would have made that team last year if it wasn't for the NCAA, if it wasn't like forcing me to get better year after year. And I think yeah, you're just going to see these spots keep getting more competitive. There might be more variation in who gets those spots like year after year, whereas like in the past, I feel like we see like the same couple guys filling those spots every year because it is so good. We're going to have a lot of bunching at the top for those spots. I'm going to do everything in my power to be one of those three every time it comes around. But yeah, it's hard to or sorry, it's easy to think about how many people could potentially make teams. I mean, I could think of a handful from the NCAA right now.
Yeah, I think in any event, it's become kind of crazy in American running how many people are like real threats in every single event. Like it used to be more so like in the, you know, the days of like Brazier and Centro and, you know, Robbie Andrews when he was in his prime, and even like Clayton Murphy Paul Chalima, like guys like that, you just knew were making teams. And I think now it's become so, depolarized in that sense, where like it's like you said, it's the top is bunching up a lot more compared to like a big disparity between the top, the middle, and the bottom. I was doing a long run with Tanoda on Saturday, and we were talking about USA's this year. I'm not going to say who he was talking about in particular, but he was basically chalking it up to like, this guy's already made the team. That was kind of the way he was presenting it. And I said to him, I was like, I mean, like as someone too, who's also trying to make a team, and I know he's trying to make a team, just made a final as a true freshman. I was like, you can't think of it that way. Like someone's already locked that up. And I was curious to ask you, when you got guys like, you know, Grant Fisher, kind of in the mix, how do you manage that in terms of, you know, thinking about going in trying to make national teams?
Yeah. I mean, I like to think that Grant and I are kind of in a similar position where I think you're seeing less, and this is probably a good thing, you're seeing less like really like true distance guys trying to make these 5K and 10K teams, whereas now we have a ton of guys from the NCAA and younger folks who are just so fast in those last 400 meters, 600 meters, that it's really any man's race. And I think, you know, I think it's helpful to have a guy like Grant in those races for me, because he's a guy that kind of I aspire to be like, and he's going to probably run the race how I want it to be run. And he kind of, he's so good, he kind of dictates how the race is run. And I think for him, his dominant strategy in these races are very similar to mine. So it's nice to have a guy there where I could kind of like key off of him and obviously trust him, because that guy's so experienced and has nailed it down to a science. I mean, yeah, he's good to have around and a good person to kind of like basically just watch and learn from.
On that kind of note of like watching and learning from people, is there anyone like that, you know, as a seasoned veteran in terms of what you do, that you've been able to build a relationship with that's kind of been helpful? Like I know, at least for me in the build up to the trials last year, like I reached out to Robbie Andrews a lot from the same area, similar 800 racing styles when he was younger, and like was just asking for advice on how to navigate, you know, those 10 days out there and just like what to expect and stuff like that. And just having him was a huge help. Was there anyone that you've kind of been able to build that relationship with, someone you maybe looked up to when you were younger and, you know, something of that nature?
Yeah, I actually just talked to someone about this, but you know, Brian Schrader, does that sound familiar?
Yeah, that name does sound familiar.
Yeah. He's great, man. He was he's a marathoner for Saucony. Used to run on the track, as most marathoners did. And he was our assistant coach at Harvard my junior year. And he's been a great help figuring all this stuff out. Him more so just kind of like big picture stuff, like how to actually structure a professional lifestyle, or like how to think big long term about goals and stuff. Otherwise, like I kind of went in just like to the trials last year, just kind of like blind and like almost in like a good way, because I didn't have much to lose. Like I'd been injured at that point for a good bit. And like, I was just, hate to say it, but I was kind of just happy to be there. I thought I could race well, but I still was just kind of happy to be there. So yeah, for me, it was really like a trial by fire this summer. And just acting like I'd been there before. Like, I mean, you can watch back. I look so dumb, but like after the Olympic prelims, if that's even on YouTube, if you just watch me like right after I finish, I just like walk straight off the track, like act like I've run in like three Olympics before, like I'm like a favorite for the gold medal. Like I just like walk off. Clearly deep down, I was like, oh my, like I just like made the final. But like, yeah, a lot of that, a lot of last summer, like, of course I have great, you know, my coach, my agent, like other athletes on Team USA, like I've had plenty of help from them. But yeah, a lot of it was just acting like I'd been there before and kind of getting a feel for it. And honestly, like, God, like if you can run well in the NCAA, like it really does carry over to those high pressure moments and like the more professional realm of racing.
Yeah, it's funny to think about how, like we said earlier, like the how competitive the NCAA has gotten, but how much the NCAA system can probably help people simulate that, you know, the trials kind of build up or a professional system. Like even just looking back, I think in the semis at regionals, we went out faster and overall ran faster than like we did in the first round of the trials. But the first round of the trials felt very similar to like the first round of NCAAs. Got like we went out pretty slow the same way, and it was a lot of dudes closing at the same time. And it was weird looking back to think about like, oh, I thought it was going to be so much different than college, and it's really not. You know, it is a good like preparation as you noted. But kind of, you know, moving backwards a little bit. So the last time we had you on, I actually think I recorded it in this same room in New Jersey, but I think we had you, or we were guessing, Shay and I, who you were going to turn pro with. I think I said someone that wasn't New Balance because we were going to try to read on your reaction. So since then, you've turned pro with New Balance, but you're still finishing, you know, your time at Harvard right now, and that's something that not a lot of people really do. What has that, you know, position been like for you to navigate in terms of going pro and changing that lifestyle a little bit, but also still, you know, showing up to class and writing your thesis on what is it, cycling over you know, as a form of
Cycling
public
in subways,
transportation?
stuff like that. I mean, like, obviously, like, my lifestyle itself is no different than an NCAA runner. You know, I'm still just an athlete that does school. You and I both know how hard that can be sometimes. Big differences now, though. Like, you know, I wasn't on the NCAA schedule this indoor season, which I think is going to help me a lot. Going into outdoor, at least that's our thought process with me and my coach, because indoor has never quite clicked for me. It's always been a tough turnaround from cross, and like very difficult to train up in Boston in the winter. And so I guess that's kind of partially answers your question, like what lifestyle change is like. I now have more freedom to kind of choose when to race, how to train, when to train, where to train. Like I'm able to like. And now I'm like empowered to make these decisions that are really, you know, good for my training, good for myself, because it's my job now. It definitely, you know, I'm definitely gives myself more legitimacy as an athlete. Like I feel I'm trying to treat myself as a professional now and like treat it as a job. I mean, yeah, like not much has changed. If anything, my life has gotten a little easier because I don't have to like worry about regional queues. I don't have to worry about like running it indoors in Ivy League, tripling in Ivy League, like all that stuff. I do, however, have to worry about like running under 27 for a 10K, which is like really hard. And like I had to get under
No
13 for a
shit.
5K. Like those things are still hard, but things move a little slower now. Like I have a little more control over stuff. And I think it's gonna help set me up in the future. But you know, otherwise I'm still training with my team, still training with my coach, having a good time. I was out here for spring break with the boys, and it was a great time.
Wait until you get out of class, man. Wait until you don't have to go to school for the first time
That'll be
since
nice.
kindergarten. It's a really nice feeling, but then you find yourself with so much free time. You're like, what do I do now? I think that's even part of the reason I'm like doing this again. It's like I need something to do to keep me occupied because it's a lot of like you hear guys say when you're younger, but like it's mostly, you know, finding time to fill like the boredom in between like training. You know, there's only so much like laying around you can do before you're like, all right, I gotta do something. But then it's the fine line of like, what can you do that isn't, you know, exasperating training in any way? You know, like I love to golf. That's not really an option to go like golf every time I'm bored, you know? You can't like, you know, I don't know. It's weird finding hobbies outside of running to occupy yourself in that like kind of professional lifestyle that isn't you know, kind of detrimental to the running itself, if that makes sense. Beyond, you know, reading and watching TV and movies and yeah, I'm not a video game guy, but I know a lot of pros are. But you know, kind of in this like new age that we're seeing, kind of switching panes here a little bit. Have you know, found yourself on the new side of this carb revolution at all? Because I feel like having met you, what probably 7 or so years ago. I don't even know what, I was a sophomore, you were a freshman on your visit. That would have been like 2019, fall of 2019,
That's right.
maybe.
You're right.
We're kind of old enough to like have raced pre Super Shoe, pre Super Spike. Like, used to wear OG Vicks on the track. It's crazy to think that I used to do that now. Or like Mambas. And back when
Mambas.
like the thought was, like less carbs, more protein immediately after and stuff like that. And now it's like we were working out on Friday and I was with my coach Bonzi with the Georgetown guys, and all like the, mile up 5K, 10K kind of guys were doing double T. And like during their second session, they were handing around a bag of gummy worms. And Bonzi was like, I never thought I'd be endorsing like candy at practice, or guys are just trying to get carbs in now. Have you, paid more attention to that now that that's become a hot topic, so to speak?
Honestly, like no, like I should like do it. And I think especially like with my type of training, our type of training at Harvard, we could probably be better at that because like, oh my God, like the amount of stuff, like the amount of mileage we do is crazy. And like we didn't start using like, okay, like not even talking about carbs, but like, or I guess this is carbs, but like we didn't even start using gels until I was like a junior maybe, just like a gel you take during a long run. Dude, we were doing like 20-mile long runs. We would wake up, drink some water, maybe eat like a, like a waffle or something, and go run 20 miles.
Dude, it's
Nothing.
crazy to think about. Like, I wouldn't touch anything. And now I'm like trying to, I'm getting up earlier, like just having a Rice Krispie treat to try to get like carbs in, or like threshold, you're like, I never used to sip Gatorade during, doing 10 by a K. And now I'm like consciously thinking about it.
Yeah,
Which is funny to
it's
think, like it's
hilarious.
weird, like guys used
It's
to
just the
crank
normal.
120 mile weeks on nothing, like you said, just water and like maybe a banana post run. Kind of looking back, it's funny to think about how we've like specialized on so many different facets of running now. We're like, the 70s and 80s was like, we're going to pound mileage, drink beers and smoke
Yeah,
cigarettes.
it's
It's
awesome.
a very different kind of focus now, or focus on more things, I should say. Than before. Are you part of, on the same vein, are you part of like the double threshold kind of wave now? Are you just bigger sessions more at once?
No, I'm not. Like, I feel kind of bad to be the guy on the pod, but like, I still do like pretty old. It's kind of old school training, I guess. Like, I do a lot of mileage. I do a lot of it pretty hard. And that's about as scientific as it gets, at least from my point of view. Obviously, like my coach, he has his own philosophies and how he goes through things, but for me it's pretty simple. Like he tells me what to do, he tells me how much mileage to run in a week, and I go out and do it. Two workouts a week. They're all single workouts on Tuesday and Fridays. Long run on Sunday, medium long run on Wednesday, and then two regular runs, sprinkled into there. So
Are you
I make it a
doubling
six.
much at all in
No, so
between?
I try to avoid it. I will say like the most I can go reasonably without a double is about 95 miles. After that, it gets a little froggy. So like for a 95 mile week, I can do, my regular run, it's like 13 miles. So that's like already pushing it like pretty long for just to wake up and go run. My medium long run is 16. And then my longer is 20. So that leaves two workouts that are like, I think they need to be like 17 and a half miles, which you would be surprised at how easy that comes, especially during like cross country season when we're doing like some super long workouts. But yeah, when I need to do a 100-mile week, I'll throw in like a 5-mile double on like the morning of a workout. Like Tuesday morning, I'll do 5-mile double, and then I'll do my workout in the afternoon. But yeah, and I always take a day off. Always have a day off on like Thursday or Saturday, just fully off. Unless it's race week, I'll like jog for 20 minutes, which is what I did today.
Nice. Are you, what's your lifting like? Or like how much time are you spending in the gym? Are you kind of in there one day a week, 2 days a week? You're not in there at all? Are you, what's that side of things look like? Because that's another area where I feel like we've seen even more specialization, in this kind of new wave of everyone getting really freaking good at the same time. It's kind of crazy to think about. but like just the amount of bodies. But not enough money to go around, unfortunately. But yeah, what does that side of things look like for you?
Dude, not good enough. I'm not very good about getting in the weight room.
You
I'm
10K guys can get away with it, though. That's the problem.
Yeah,
800
it's
guys,
true.
and I'm looking at dudes on the start line. I'm like, I know you can squat 400 pounds, and I can't.
Yeah.
And you're going to get up the line really hard, and I can't.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm keeping it real with you, probably averaged once a week this winter. In reality, I'm supposed to be in there twice a week, but things get messed up. I push a workout to a different day, and then like the weight room's closed then, and I miss it. Like, that's definitely something I want to work on. Maybe work with a coach that specializes in that, because there's a lot of stuff I can work on. I am a 10K guy. Like, I am pretty weak, and I think I could use a little bit of the I could get juiced a little bit.
What
Like,
are the PBs in the gym look like? Like if we got you hitting a little bench, how are we getting a plate on, do you think? Or what does it look like?
think I did like, man, like I did some stuff on the Smith machine in my dorm, which does not count. The Smith machine is so
Yeah, I was
easy.
saying that.
I think I one repped like 100 in high school, so I'd like to think I could one rep like I hope I could push like a little over 100. But dude, I don't think I could do much over 100 pounds. I've some really weak forearms. Maybe that could help in the home stretch if I put some muscle on, get the arms moving on the sprint straight away.
You could be one of those guys with like the 5 pound dumbbells. You ever seen the weight room that hitting
Yeah.
the running stride? Or the we got a lot of our track at Georgetown, like the community has to be allowed to use too. A lot of people that are like way older than you would imagine could leave the house by themselves. And they're doing laps around the track, and you see a lot of like little baby weights and things like that. Definitely like that looks like the 90s side of getting into running.
Yeah.
Sticking out now. You don't see that as much these days. Now it's people with 75 gels in a little fanny pack that don't need it at all, running, 10 minute pace. Not to knock them, but as a guy who I imagine will end up on the roads, at some point in your career, as most people on your side of things do, or as most people in general. Like I even joke with people when they ask me, I was in New York City for the New York City Marathon this year, and one of my friend's moms was like, "Tim, when are you going to run the marathon?" I'm like, "That's about 25 and a half miles too long for me right now, but I'll probably end my career with a marathon, I imagine." Kind of at what point do you see that happening for you?
Yeah. I mean, the marathon feels like America's favorite pastime at this point.
It's
Baseball's done.
crazy.
Everyone's doing marathons. I am watching baseball right now, opening day,
Who are you
the
watching right
senior
now?
Mets.
I've been checking the
Who is it?
score.
The Yankees versus the Brewers. It's the only game on YouTube TV. Some
Gotcha.
reason.
MLB TV is down right now. People are very upset.
Okay.
The Mets are down 3-0 in the top of the eighth. Not
Yeah.
happy about it.
Okay. I gotta see how the Braves are doing. No, yeah, I mean, I'll definitely think I have to try the marathon. Like, I think it's safe to say I'll do it one day. I wouldn't be surprised if I'm doing a half marathon, honestly, by the beginning of next year, like just to throw it in. Because it's something that's with my training, it don't really need to modify too much to run a half marathon. I don't think people take carbs during half marathons. Maybe they do, I don't know. You're only
I
running for
think good
less
people
than,
don't.
the good people are running less than an hour. So it's like it's something that like I don't think would require too much of a sacrifice from my track career. But yeah, don't be surprised to see me sprinkling those in like starting next year, because I think it's important to start earlier rather than later. And hopefully like some of the cross country success will carry over to the roads. But for now I'm fully committed to track. Like, I think that's where the glory is for me, and where I want to be the best at. But the marathons are awesome. I mean, I'm excited to hopefully try that one day.
Yeah, I think we're definitely starting to see a lot more, you know, pros and even more middle distance based pros start running on the roads in the middle of their track careers, when that used to be a thing that was like, all right, this guy can't hang on the 10K in the last four.
Yeah.
All right, it's time to move up, and no one would do it until then. And like, now you see Josh Kerr, you know, run a half marathon, like, you know, giving it a respectable effort, and even Jakob trying to hop in a road race unsuccessfully last year. But yeah, it's definitely something we're starting to see earlier. But kind of on the subject of roads, being a longer base distance guy yourself, what are your thoughts on people now that running is like a trend and is cool, quote unquote? Like every weekend I go on Instagram and it's 1,000 stories about someone finishing a half marathon, and I can't help but get a little bit aggravated, because I'm like, it's just, all right, marathon, I get, like, mentally that's a lot of time for someone that doesn't do this all the time to, you know, not be comfortable and to be alone and like get through it. But I don't know, like the fanfare for a half, I don't get it, let alone like a 5K. It's just, yeah, I don't know how to say it without making, not that anyone that's probably that casual even listens to this shit, but yeah. You know, I just, what are your thoughts on that, let alone like the 13.1 or 26.2 bumper stickers?
I mean, yeah, it's so different. Like, it's the, you know, we say that the sport's getting popular, but like, there's a big disconnect between the marathon and half marathon. The people who are, you know, doing it in their free time, like, it's something they want to do, and then like actually elite running. I saw like this graph basically that was like showing the average marathon time. Like, I don't know how they got the data. Like, maybe it was from one specific marathon, but like the average finishing time for certain age groups, like over the years. And it's like, you know, you and I both know that like times on the track are getting significantly faster year after year. Like 10 years ago, like the top time in the NCAA for indoors probably wouldn't even make the indoor championship right now. For the marathon, it's the complete opposite. We've gotten slower. The average finishing time for a marathon has gotten slower. And it's kind of what you're talking about, is just people who are in it for the completion of it. Like, it's something that's hard, and it's something that's like penetrating the non-running world. Like people are like just doing marathons for fun now.
It's a social thing too, you know.
It's like a social thing, especially
dating
in New York.
Run clubs. Every city, yeah, it's crazy.
Every city,
you know,
it's crazy.
Like, and I shouldn't even be. I don't know. I sound like a grumpy old man when I, you know, like talk bad about it, because it's a great thing for us in terms of like money's being put in the sport and there are more eyeballs on the sport. But I completely agree with you. Like, the disconnect is definitely there in terms of those people. They don't follow elite running. Like, there is, like, I mean, they definitely don't know my name. They probably don't know your name. And they probably forgot Cole Hawker's name after 3 days. You know, like, they don't remember Hall's name. They remember that happened if someone brought it up. But, you know, everything just goes in one ear, out the other so much, and in every aspect of life, but let alone this sport, like in terms of casuals. It's interesting to say, but that's funny. I didn't know that. But we'll have to look into that more.
Yeah, you got
to
find that. It's
marathon time goes down. We'll fact check that. We're not joking like, over here.
Yeah. And like, obviously, like the elite marathoners are getting faster, but it's just because, you know, there's more and more people doing marathons year after year. It's not like a niche sport anymore where people are like looking to improve, like trying to like run fast. It's just people are like in it for the social aspect. They're in it for the, you know, it gives you fulfillment to like train for a marathon, structure for a couple months. And then like, it's like a celebration. It's like a party, man.
Yeah.
Like a marathon, half marathon. They're like parties.
Every one of my friends, awesome. Like, I ran New York. I went in because, like, you know, it was just crazy early in our season. And it's just like, let's go, you know, check out the marathon.
Marathon weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Never seen it before in person. I don't think I'd ever seen a marathon in person at that point. Everyone I knew that ran it was like, hey, I have a party at this bar afterwards. I have a party at this bar. Like, it's become such a big social thing in terms of accomplishment or sense of accomplishment. And everyone's wearing their medals the whole weekend. And the subway system, we could have definitely used some bikes and place the subway, because it was everyone that would be packed on a subway, but everyone had posters too, trying to like hitting each other in the face the whole time. It was crazy. But I guess, all right, we'll take a break from my hard hitting Big J journalism questions.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to go back to this part of what we used to do on the show in terms of the listener questions. We'll start with the first one. Someone named Alejandro, and you've mentioned, I think, with us before, but just in general, that you're a soccer fan. Someone asked Messi or Ronaldo?
Alejandro asked
Yeah,
that.
Alejandro
Alejandro, good
Jabasco.
question. Good question. Messi, I'm a Messi guy.
I'm a Messi guy
You can
too.
just tell. Yeah, you can just tell I'm a Messi
You
guy.
could definitely tell by someone's personality if they're a Messi
Yes.
or Ronaldo guy. Like my best friend, he's Argentinian. His dad was born and raised in Argentina, and I watched the World Cup at his house with him and
Oh my
all of his
God.
Argentine family. They had their face painted with the flag and stuff. It's a very cool place if you weren't going to be at the game to watch it with a bunch of Argentinians. But you can definitely tell, who's a Messi or Ronaldo guy, especially like playing
Yeah.
soccer growing up. You knew who was who.
Exactly. I was a midfielder. I guess he was kind of like a
We all were, man.
sometimes.
Anyone that ran
Yeah,
played
exactly.
outside mid.
Yeah, so like Ronaldo scored all the goals. He's on the left wing, right? Like I did not see myself in Ronaldo. Obviously, I did not see myself in Messi. Like I could not ever be his ability, but like he was someone who I was like, you watch him play, it's just insane. I mean, even like the most recent World Cup, just watching him play is so inspiring. Like even like not even as like a runner,
Yeah, to see
clearly
something
mastered his
and
craft.
it be so blatantly obvious who the best person in the world is while
Exactly.
they're doing it,
Exactly.
It's like when Jakob went on that little tear. There was a little while there when it was just like, okay, you're watching the best guy in the world right now.
Yeah.
And it's been cool to see that not be the case. But yeah, it's definitely, like you said, it's inspiring to see, which is really cool. All right. Last time, which is funny, this is kind of a sick poll. This kid comments stuff all the time. I don't know him personally, but I think he has my
Okay.
Strava notifications turned on because when I post on Strava like once a week, this kid's he likes it instantly. He has to.
That's awesome. That's
So
awesome.
Ulysses O'Rourke asked
Hell
your
yeah.
thoughts on Tim Robinson getting a movie. I think last time you were on, we were talking about I think you should leave because that it might have like the new season might have just come out or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, are you excited for a Tim Robinson movie?
Dude. Yes, I'm pumped. I think Tim Robinson has like sparked a whole new era of like of comedy, because I feel like there's like his weird like surreal absurdist, like he like comes up with these scenarios that are like just weird and like
Yeah,
awkward
they're
and
so
funny, like
out there that they're you buy
exactly.
into what's happening. You're like, oh, this could happen.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
I've been seeing a lot of that like over the past years, like on TikTok or YouTube, like a lot of that same type of vein of comedy, and it's awesome. Yeah, I'm obviously pumped for his movie. I gotta see that movie. Is it out yet? Like, I
No,
saw
I
the
didn't.
trailer.
I was actually talking to Shay about it the other day. Well, it was I mean, I'm sure you go to Harvard, so I'm sure you see this whole the whole Defense Department group chat thing going on right now, but
Oh
it was
yeah.
a good meme. It was like all the actual group chat text, and then the bottom one was like kind of cut off, and it was like, "Oh my God, do you see his fucking hat from the one skit?" I sent it to Shay, and he's like, "Yeah, I think there's a new show coming out." And then when we got the question
Yeah.
yesterday, I was like, "That all right? It's a movie." I remember hearing that now.
Yeah. I also really like I've gotten really into a guy that was on the Tim Robinson show. I think you should leave. His name's Connor O'Malley, I think is his name.
I'm gonna look up. What does he look like? Let's see.
He's the guy, he always yells like really loud on like that's his one of his jokes. He's just
Oh,
really
I know who
loud.
that. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, great comedian, but so obviously pretty pumped for oh yeah, I'll have to see the movie. I mean, me and some of my teammates like love Tim Robinson. It's like what we used to only watch, only we spoke his language,
Yeah, I
like
think that
you know what
was
I mean?
every
Like,
team in America for a while. Like you
yeah.
just go through whatever old, like either whether it's old or when new stuff like that's that funny comes out. Like
Yeah.
Shay and I were sitting down a few weeks or like a month or two ago in DC and we watched all of
Shit.
Eastbound and Down, Kenny Powers. Have you ever
Eastbound
seen
Down.
that?
I
It's
haven't.
Danny McBride, the comedian.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, he plays a. It's based on like a real life baseball player who was just an absolute piece of shit. John Rocker, I think was his name.
Okay.
But he's like a washed up baseball player in like a North Carolina minor league team trying to make the bigs again. It's very funny. It could never come out on TV today. Like there, it just blatantly says the words that are just not okay to say today.
Yeah.
it's definitely worth the watch. It's one of those, like, you sit down, you watch the whole thing, and you speak that language. Not those bad words, but like the other
yeah.
kind of language in the show. But all right, we'll go last listener question. I don't know if I'm supposed to know what this means. Maybe this is something, I don't know, a deep cut on you here.
Okay. The
best red oat milk? I don't know.
The maybe best red oat milk.
Like R-E-A-D. I don't know. Maybe it's a typo or something, or if I'm missing something here. I don't know.
Red oat milk?
Yeah, I don't know if that – I read it and I assumed it. I was not supposed to know what that meant. Maybe
I don't know. I don't I don't drink oat milk. You know, I'm a big whole milk
guy. Are you a big milk guy? Are you
I'm a big milk guy.
Some people look like milk guys. You look like a milk guy.
Thank you. Or maybe. I don't know.
No, milk guys are a good thing.
Milk guys are cool.
Cool kids were milk guys growing up. Those are the tough kids growing up.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a distance runner, you kinda gotta be a milk guy, you know. Work on that bone density, get that calcium.
You have to hit the protein window. Chocolate milk immediately after a run.
Yeah, protein window, carb window. Yeah, no, big milk guy. Whole milk, though. Not a real whole milk, not oat milk.
Yeah, you don't do the fake white. Shit. You're like into real shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's the listener questions. I haven't done that in a while. Okay. The next little segment, this has actually become a little bit of a fan favorite on the older side of the listening audience. I'm going to pull it up to get the exact wording. So the question from my mom. Hold on. Okay. So my mom would like to know, if you could hear the internal thoughts of any competitive runner that's currently running during a major race, who would it be? So if you could get an insight to anyone's head during a major, like, international race, whose thoughts would you want to hear while they're racing?
That is an amazing question. I mean, I think out of anyone, honestly, it would probably be Kipchoge, because I think he's someone we think of as, like, having an absolutely impenetrable
mind. Stoic, like, you know, like, he's, yeah, Marcus, exactly, Aurelius, like, all of a sudden.
I would like to believe he doesn't actually...
There's no way. Like, he's a human being.
Exactly. I think he deals with a lot of self-doubt as the rest of us. And I think it would be really cool to, like, to see that, like, to hear that, like, even during, like, man, that sub-2 attempt, I would love to see what he was thinking. He might have been in a lot of pain. I don't know. But yeah, exactly what you're saying. Like, he seems like a stoic, but I feel like there's something else going on in there. Yeah. I feel like
even the Olympics this year,
like the rest of us.
Like, when he had the shock,
exactly.
The
like,
Olympics,
what does he think when it's that happening?
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, with someone like him who has broken 2 hours for the marathon in a situation like that, when it all starts going wrong, what goes through his head? You know,
I'd be so interested.
Yeah, I think that's a good answer. I like that one a lot. I wish I had an answer for the 8. It's kind of a turn your brain off and don't think event. There's not enough time to think. You think in an 8, and you're already you're 5 steps mental. Behind. Yeah. The 8's the new 4 nowadays. But usually before I have anyone on, granted it has been a while, I'll text my coach Bonzi. I'll ask him a question. And a lot of the times I won't say that Bonzi asked a question, but I didn't know this. I feel like this is something Shay would have pulled had Shay been here. But did you start a hedge fund at Harvard? I asked him. I was like,
yeah.
It was only 5 minutes before you hopped on. And I was like, I'm about to interview Graham, by the way, if you have any questions, because we were talking college hoops. And he was like asking about the hedge fund he started at Harvard, which is, I was like, what?
That's a good story. Yeah, that's a good pull. I don't know if I've ever talked about this, but basically it was going into my, it must have been going into my junior year of college. So, like, that summer before my junior year of college, I was staying in Boston with a couple friends. And it just so happens, like, we have a lot of finance guys on the team, or, like, guys who want to go into finance, or, you know, investment banking, quant. Like, they all want to do that. That's a big thing at Harvard. I'm sure it's a big thing at Georgetown, too.
Oh, yeah. Like, everyone in New York is, like, Georgetown, Notre Dame, or Harvard. It's absurd.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone wants to go to finance.
That's a huge thing. Like, it's a huge goal for everyone at Harvard. But I think, I don't know how it started. I mean, We were I mean, we were talking stocks. I don't know, like for some reason someone like suggested like we start a hedge fund kind of as a joke. But then someone took it seriously. Like I think it was Vivian Hens, who's a Luxembourg guy on our team. He's like, bro, like that's a good idea, bro. Like
That's the exact voice I do for all of my foreign teammates, by
my
the way. That's the exact voice I do for my Italian
bro.
teammate. Yeah, all the time. It's like, bro.
Yeah, he's like, bro, like I'm going to send this to my mom, bro, and she's a great marketing like she like works in like marketing or something or like branding. And he's like, send us this like clientele sheet, and we basically filled out this whole thing about our brand. I bet we basically came up with a brand for a hedge fund for a logo to make a logo for us. And so we filled out this like 3-4 page thing, like talking about our origins. I named it, first of all, keep in mind there's no capital, there's no money whatsoever. There's nothing going on here. We're literally just making a logo for something that doesn't exist yet. But yeah, we wrote it, we came up with a name, we called it Bear Cage Capital, which is the name of this hill in Franklin Park, our home cross country course. It's like, I guess, famous. It's really hard. And I thought Bear Cage sounded kind of like a good like finance name. It's like trustworthy. It's like,
We're gonna commit a hostile takeover of your
yeah, but
Fortune
we like the
500
bear
company.
markets. Exactly. We're keeping the bear markets contained. I don't know. We got a logo, it looked fire. And then we all put it on our we made a LinkedIn business account with the logo, and then we all put it on our LinkedIn pages. And then we're like, okay, well, I guess it's time to like actually
Be a
pitch
hedge
in some
fund.
money. And everyone's like, and we had another guy make an LLC or something for us, or like a mutual fund. You can like register it with the government. I
Yeah,
have
it's
no idea.
ridiculously easy to make
Yeah,
like an
exactly.
LLC or anything like that. Like I think I don't know if we actually have a Hills and Twos one, but like even our pro group now, I had all that paperwork done in a day. We were a registered nonprofit. We had an LLC. We were all taken care of. It's crazy how easy it is.
Exactly. So we did that, and like now all of a sudden it's like, all right, like it's time to invest. Like we also like before we even had money, like we were doing like we would pitch stuff to each other. I did pitch NVIDIA in going into my junior year, which was like, I mean, at that point NVIDIA was already like growing like crazy, but we did invest. That would have been nice. I pitched CVS. But yeah, push came to shove. We're like, all right, guys, we need to put money in. And everyone's like, I don't know, like I don't want to like give
It's a
like
little risky now.
$1,000 to like a bunch of like college students. And eventually, like we kept talking about it during the summer. We got to school. We're like, we'll figure it out during cross country camp, and it just like fell apart. But basically, like no one knew about this hedge fund thing. But we left it up on our LinkedIn. It's like, because I'm not really thinking about it. And you can look this up, Bear Cage Capital. It's still on LinkedIn. And I remember on my way to Charlottesville for NCAA Cross Championships, we haven't talked about this hedge fund thing in like months since this summer. Our photographer, like media person, came to the back of the bus and was like, hey, Graham, like I just got an email from Forbes. They're like, do you have a hedge fund? And I was like, what? Like, are you talk? I was like, no, this must
Is there like a Forbes
have died.
article on this?
No, and I was basically like, I was like, oh my God, like they think I have a hedge fund, like,
You should have run with
and so
that.
I could have
It's
run with
just
it, but
like such a stereotypical like story it would have been like not
and I think
the
that's why he wanted to
Harvard
cover
kid.
it, yeah, which makes me sad. We should have done it, because it would have been funny, but no, I told her, I was like, no, that was I was like, we tried to do something like that, but it never came to fruition. So that's a good deep cut from Bonzi. Yeah, we did zero capital invested, zero capital lost. So maybe one day we can get an alumni mutual fund going for Harvard.
I think about now that I'm in this like third act of, I don't want to say the third act of my career, but the third chapter of my career coming out of, high school, college, and then now to the professional world. What would I have wanted to know from someone like you that has achieved so much already and is still has so much in front of them when I was younger? Like when you were 17 and you were in high school and you were looking at colleges or even before that. What would you have wanted to know from someone like you now? Or, maybe Grant Fisher is an example of like that kind of person on that timetable for you. But, what would have been most helpful, you think, that you would have wanted to know from, you know, a
Yeah.
very elite pro?
I think like when I was in high school or like maybe even towards the beginning of college, like I was kind of like overwhelmed by like how good people were and like, you know, like I had big goals. I aspired to be like the, you know, like the people at the top of the collegiate level or even when I was in high school, like, you know, I wanted to be as good as those guys, but like I was kind of like how do these people get this good? Like this is just impossible. Like I was kind of overwhelmed. And you know, now that I've like made it to this point in my career, like thinking like back to what I would tell myself that would be reassuring is like I think the one thing I would want to hear is like there's no secret. Like there's no secret to getting good. There's like no one really, unless they're doping, no one really has like a serious advantage, like or like and there's no thing you have to do to get better. Like all you have to do is like train or listen to your coach. And you know, to be fair, college can be a crapshoot sometimes if you end up good or not, or end up making it because it's hard to, you know, train in college. But I would say to like any high schooler who's listening to this is like, yeah, there's no secret. Like if you want to get good, like you just have to put your head down and train and like just stay consistent, put yourself in races. And it's harder, it's easier said than done. But that's something that like I wish I knew going into college or even in high school, like that like it is possible to be good. Like it is possible just to train and progress and get better. And like I think I would have had a lot more, you know, I would have been a lot more relaxed, like if I knew that beforehand.
It's definitely a big thing when you're young in the sport. I think we all probably went through that phase of like, all right, I'm starting to get good. What shortcut can I take right now to get really good really soon? You know, like even I have a 17-year-old little brother right now who runs and a sister who's at 15, a freshman in high school running right now. And they're both, my brother's at CBA, which is a great program. My sister's been running incredibly.
Yep.
I see in them now, which I wasn't able to identify in myself, them like looking for those quick fixes, like, all right, if I ice bath this many times a week, or if I use the Normatec boost, or if I take this supplement, and like you said, unless you're doping, there's no quick secret here. Like, there's just no secret to this. This is years of like trial and error, of finding out what works, of racing and just nonstop racing, learning how to race, you know? And then once you learn how to race, learning how to hurt more so you can race better. And you know, I think that's a really good answer. That there's no shortcut. There's no cutting corners if you want to be, you know, really good. I think everyone can look back and realize that, look at a time when they were doing that, and then you see it now, you know, as you've moved forward.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But anyway, no, I think that was a really good answer. But I won't keep you too long. We're just about an hour here. But thanks for hopping on, man. Best of luck this weekend. Well, you know, I'm sure a lot of people will be checking it out, but it looks like a really great field. Guys, looks like a really good opportunity to run really fast and compete. So, I know a lot of people that listen to this will be rooting for you. You've become a fan favorite, I think, on this side of things.
Awesome. Yeah, I can't wait to race, so.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Quick last question. You ever going to change the Instagram name, or is it Graham voted for Pedro forever? Because you've become a little bit known for that now.
Yeah, it would be, I'm pretty sure it would be sacrilegious to change it, so
Yeah, I
it's
agree.
staying. It's
All right.
staying. It's part
Good.
of the
I
brand.
still remember when you told me that when we were on like a long run on your visit, and I was like, "Wait, your
Yeah,
Instagram is
yeah.
what?" And it took me a second to realize
Hey,
the
also, I
Napoleon
gotta say,
Dynamite.
before this ends, I gotta say, one of the nicest things that anyone has ever said to me, all right, was on my Georgetown official visit. I think I was staying with
With Shay, right?
Shea and Parker Stokes. And man, that
That
was
that's a
really,
pretty cool room to think about looking back
yeah.
now, you know.
I was on the floor with those guys.
Lovely Georgetown
I was on the
Supplied Air
floor. They were
mattress.
sleeping. Exactly. And I think like I was super nervous. Like it was my first official visit ever. Like I was trying to act cool around like all you guys, like around all the college dudes. And like I think I did a pretty good job, like just being like chill.
It's super easy to like, as I'm sure you know, like not like a recruit once they leave. And I remember everyone being like, "You got to get that kid, Bonds. That's a like, he
All right,
was a
good,
good
good, good.
kid."
Well, I feel bad that I didn't go, but
I mean, it worked out. It's okay.
I remember when I was leaving. When I was leaving, I like was saying bye to Parker and Shay, and they're like, "Yeah, like that was fun." And like Shay, I think Shay was like, "Yeah, I forgot that recruits can be like normal or something. Like I forgot that recruits can be not weird." And I was like, "It's like really? Thank you, man." Like
They
so,
made some oddballs that year
yeah.
too.
So sorry to them. I mean, I'm sure those guys are, you know, they were just high schoolers, just like me, probably overwhelmed. But I was playing it cool. I wasn't as cool as I probably appeared. I was trying to, you know, I was trying to play the cards right.
No, you weren't one of those kids coming in trying to like drop us on a long run. There were a couple of those kids, and we were like, "Dude, what are
Yeah,
you doing right now?"
I know what you
And
mean.
I can now point to all of them and say that your career worked out a lot better than theirs did. So, I think being decent to people on their visits pans out. That's good advice for high schoolers. Don't come in trying to be the cool guy on your official visit. Everyone will hate you. You know, no matter how good you are, don't try to be the man. You will be the most disliked
Yeah.
kid there so fast.
Just ask questions and run with the team, you
Yeah,
know.
those are the best kids that like want to learn from guys there. Like I remember all my visits, like, you're staying with guys that you used to worship. When you're younger in high school and you're like, it's pretty overwhelming. And then I just remember picking their brains the whole time. Like you just should want to learn when you're young, you know?
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
all right, man. Thanks for hopping on. It's nice to be back. It's nice to have you back for the first one since then. So good luck this
Sweet.
weekend. Well, I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.
All right, sweet man. See ya.